tat therefore naha for us prayutaya kindly awaken adhyatma transcendental jnanam knowledge tata absolute truth artha for the purpose of darshanam philosophy jena by which anjasa easily tarishamaha we can cross over dushtaram formidable havasagaram the ocean of nations. Translation: Dear Master, kindly enlighten us in transcendental knowledge, which may act as a torchlight by which we may cross the dark nations of material existence. I want to read verse 6 and read verse 7 again, because verse 7 begins with the word therefore, which means we need to go to the previous verse to see what the therefore relates to. So this is text 6. O Master, may we inform you that because of our being overly attached to family affairs, we almost forgot the instructions we received from Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu. So now we'll read the verse again and you'll understand better the therefore. Of course, the therefore is in the, not in the translation, but in the synonyms. Dear Master, kindly, well, I'll put therefore in. Therefore, dear Master, kindly enlighten us in transcendental knowledge, which may act as a torchlight by which we may cross the dark nations of material existence. In other words, they're feeling a little bit at a loss because they got good instruction and they didn't follow it. And now it's later in their life and they're kind of begging for mercy, so they don't make the same mistake again, so they can actually hear or they can act on what they already know, which is of course a huge problem, because what you know doesn't mean what you do. There's a saying, the longest distance in the universe is from the head to the heart, because to get it from your head to the heart could take lifetimes. So what you know and what you do maybe often completely different. So here they're expressing, we knew, we didn't act, we need some mercy, we need something. Push us, force us, bash us in the head, do something to get it out of here into the heart. When it's in the heart, then we mean you act on it. So we know so many things that we don't act on. That's part of the process of becoming purified. Purport. Anyone ever hear that statement before? The longest distance in the universe is from the head to the heart. Anyone heard that? Some, yeah. It's true. We know so many things. And therefore we know what we're not doing when we don't do it. I was just in Mauritius. We gave a class on guilt. And why I chose to give a class on guilt is because when you know and you don't do, then you feel guilty. So it's part of the process of Krishna consciousness. First you know what to do, then you try to do it, and you always don't do what you know. And then you feel bad that you didn't do what you were supposed to do. Which is basically symptomatic of the mode of ignorance. Because in the mode of ignorance, you may know what to do, but it doesn't get beyond knowing. In the mode of passion, mode of passion, you do it if it feels good. Because mode of passion is all about, does it feel good? Yeah, well, I know I should do this, but it doesn't feel good, so I won't. Ignorance is, I know I should do it, but I don't. It's too much trouble. And mode of satvagun is just, you know you should do it, and that's what you do. That's all you need to know. So purport. The Prajetas requested Narada to enlighten them in transcendental knowledge. Generally, when a common man meets a saintly person, he wishes to get some material benediction. However, the Prajetas were not interested in material benefit, for they had enjoyed all this sufficiently, nor did they want the fulfillment of their material desires. They were simply interested in crossing the ocean of nescience. Everyone should be interested in getting out of these material clutches. Everyone should approach a saintly person in order to be enlightened in this connection. One should not bother a saintly person to get blessings for material enjoyment. Generally, householders receive saintly persons to get their blessings, but their real aim is to become happy in the material world. Asking such material benedictions is not recommended in the Shastra. So now I have a question for you. Here Prabhupada's talking about blessings and how everyone wants blessings from the sadhus. So what is our Krishna conscious definition of blessing? And we have the microphone there. We want to hear from you. What does it mean? What's a blessing? Who knows? He's got the mic, so he'll give us the answer.
The one who is deprived of all material facilities. To be deprived of all material facilities.
A blessing is to be deprived of all material facility. Wow, who wants that blessing? You know, something here that confirms that. All I have to do is find it. Yes, here it is. To confirm your statement. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the 7th chapter of the Adi Lila, it is described that a certain Brahmana who was well known for being harsh and cursing others, could not enter the kirtan hall where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing kirtan because the door was locked. Being very agitated and breaking his Brahman's thread, he cursed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the next day on the bank of the Ganges, saying, quote, "I shall now curse you, for your behavior has greatly aggrieved me. You shall be bereft of all material happiness." However, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt great jubilation within himself since his mission was Vairagya Vidya Nitya Bhakti Yoga, to give up the illusion of material sense gratification and staunchly engage 24 hours a day in devotional service of the Lord. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took this curse as a blessing, and soon after, the Lord took sannyas. Thus it is stated in this verse that by the words of the Aryan, the Brahmana, Arya Vachasa, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, yad, agad, aranya, and went traveling through the different forests of India on the way to Vrindavan, and later South India. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted especially to preserve the prestige of the Brahmana class, and therefore he decided to keep the Brahmana's curse intact. Of course, it fulfilled many purposes. You had something? So if a blessing means to take away all your material, what did you say? All material facility? Opulence? It depends actually on the person. For some people, Krishna will bless them with material facility because they can use it, because they're not attached. But for those who are attached, yes, that's a great blessing. May I have any other definitions of blessings? Yes. Always remembering Krishna's lotus feet. Yes. Yes. What else?
get law of Krishna and engage in Krishna service without interruption and without any...
To engage in Krishna service without any interruption. Yeah. Think of Krishna always and then engage in service. Yes. To ask for
something that I can't do myself, I won't do myself.
To ask for something that I can't do myself, or I won't do myself. Ask for the ability, the desire.
No.
Ask somebody else.
No, just bless me so I don't have to do the work and make a sacrifice.
I want the blessing so I don't have to undergo the difficulty. It's someone else to do it. There's a... well, yeah, but we can go the full gamut. There's a saying, one Christian said, don't pray for tasks equal to your ability, but pray for ability equal to your task. So that would be the other side. Instead of praying for someone else to do it, we pray for the ability to do it, to get a blessing, so that we can do something that we're not qualified to do. Yes.
There's this story of, I don't know, it was a great sage or somebody who gave different blessings to different people, like the butcher and the prince. So it was different blessings according to how they were situated.
Yeah. So it'll be relative to your status in life and your conception of life, what you consider a blessing. So Brahmacharya was blessed. Majiva. No, what was he blessed? Don't live. Majiva, don't live, just die. So that was good for him. And the king, or the prince, was blessed. Don't live, don't die. Or the Chiranjeev, live a long time. Because you're enjoying. And the butcher, don't live, don't die. Jivova Amarova. Not jiva na maro, because when you die, you go to hell, and when you're living, you're causing suffering. And for the sadhu, the devotee, jiva va maro va, either you live or die, same thing. Yeah, so different blessings. So, what kind of blessing do we want? We want the... what do we want?
Was asking them that they give blessing to the son that he will become the servant of Srimati Radharani.
Yes. Prabhupada's father prayed to the sadhus he would become a servant. I was reading some stories about devotees getting blessings, and all the blessings they got were in the form of curses. But the result of the curses is they met Krishna. So then I was thinking another definition of blessing is anything that gets you closer to Krishna is a blessing, right? So, Indradyumna Maharaj, he got cursed to become an elephant by Angira. But he also got the blessing he would meet Krishna. And then the crocodile, he was cursed, he was a Gandharva, and he got to meet Krishna. It's also interesting in that story, what happened after the Gandharva got back his form? Where did he go? Went back to Gandharva Loka. So that was his consciousness. What do you want? Okay, now you meet Krishna. Krishna, can I go back to Gandharva Loka? So that's what he wanted. Krishna let him go. So blessings are also, you know, for a devotee, of course, that's not what we want, but Krishna's reciprocating, so. That's interesting. Who else got cursed? And where was a blessing? Nalugavera Mani Griva. Yeah. Nalugavera Mani Griva got cursed to become trees. In these purports, when Prabhupada explains about these curses where the devotee meets Krishna, he makes an interesting point. He said, in many cases, these devotees would according to their adhikarya, their qualification, not meet Krishna, not get Krishna's darshan. But by the blessing in the form of the curse of the sadhu, they got Krishna's darshan. So the bless, another definition of blessing is you get what you're not really qualified to get. As many of these people who got cursed and also got blessed were not qualified, didn't have the adhikari to get the darshan of Krishna. And by that blessing, they got it. Interesting, isn't it? It's just like Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was famous for saying, Krishna, whatever you have to do to me to get me closer to you, do it. Whatever I have that's getting in the way, take it away. So he meant, you know, do anything, whether it's going to hurt or not, do it. And if there's anything that's in any way pleasurable or enjoyable in my life, but it's hurting my relationship with you, take it away. So that's the proper attitude, isn't it? Is that the right attitude? I once gave a class on prayer. And then we came across this prayer of Bhaktivinoda Thakur where he says, how does it go? You could give me life, you could protect me, you could kill me. Maro bhi, rako bhi. So then I asked the devotees, I said, so, you know, we sing this bhajan often, maro bhi, rako bhi. You can protect me, you can kill me, and we're all having a good time, you know, we have bhajans together, pizza and ice cream after the bhajans. Mara vira kobi, yo icho tomar. Say, Prabhu, do you know what you're just singing? No, we're just singing bhajans, having fun. Nobody, half the people don't even know what they're singing. Say, Krishna, you can kill me, if you like. So in the prayer seminar, I said, has anybody ever gone to the deity and said, Krishna, if you like, you can kill me? Not one person raised their hand, although we're singing the bhajan. So this is the attitude of the advanced devotee. Now there's an interesting story. Here we're seeing in this verse that prachetas are being glorified because they want to get out of material existence. But technically speaking, the desire to get out of material existence is bhakti with some gyan mixed in. So it's not really completely pure, because there's a desire to become free from suffering. That's called jnana mishra bhakti. But one devotee in the earlier days of the movement asked Prabhupada a question, should I desire to go back to Godhead? And Prabhupada told him yes. Because according to his position, that was the best desire. So Prabhupada's glorifying the prachetas because they're coming out of material existence, and now they're designed to get out of material existence. So that's perfect desire for them. But for one who is more advanced, that would be considered still not pure because it's mixed with the desire to get out of material existence. Of course, it depends on why you want to get out of material existence. But ultimately, a devotee, he's already out of material existence. So he just wants to serve Krishna. And if he desires to become free from suffering, it's considered his bhakti's not pure. Okay. So. I would like to read something. When Prahlad's mother, Hiranyakashipu's wife, Kayadhu, was under the protection of Narada, she prayed for the protection of her son from the enemy. And Narada Muni gave assurance that Prahlad Maharaj would always be saved from the enemy's hands. Thus, when Hiranyakashipu was going to kill Prahlad, the Lord saved Prahlad to fulfill his promise in Bhagavad Gita, Kunteya Pradijani Hi Name Bhakta Purashati, and to prove true the words of Narada. The Lord can fulfill many purposes through one action. Thus, the killing of Hiranyakashipu and the saving of Prahlad were enacted simultaneously to prove the truthfulness of the Lord's devotee and the fidelity of the Lord himself to his own purpose. So here we're getting an example that we see often in Shastra, where a devotee gives a blessing and then Krishna becomes obliged to ensure that whatever was blessed will happen. So Hiranyakashipu could not possibly kill Prahlad because Narada Muni gave the blessing he would be protected. Isn't that interesting? When the spiritual master or the sadhu gives a blessing, then it's going to happen. Now, I have an interesting take on blessings because we already have so many blessings. One time, Srila Prabhupada was asked by a disciple for his blessings. He said, Srila Prabhupada, I would like your blessings so I'm able to follow your instructions. And Prabhupada gave him an interesting answer. He said, my instructions are my blessings. So what did he mean by that? Well, if we translate it into slang American street talk, you lazy bum, you already have my mercy. So in that sense, I want your mercy so I can follow your instructions. You lazy bum, just follow them. The mercy is the instruction. Of course, Prabhupada didn't say it that way, but that's how we could interpret it. In other words, every word of Prabhupada is a blessing. And why is it a blessing? So I was meditating on this and coming up with a realization, which I think we all have, but just to remind ourselves, that in one sense, we have no excuse for being in Maya. Because everything we need to be Krishna conscious has already been given to us. Right? So if any of us are ever in Maya, what's the excuse? What's the reason? That we didn't take the instruction. We didn't put it into practice. Right? So if you look at, if you take Prabhupada's in words that my words are my blessings, then how many blessings do we have? Well, how many words do we have? A lot, right? A lot of words. So we have a lot of blessings. And thereby, any situation we could ever find ourselves in, there's a blessing in the form of an instruction to deal with it. And if we're even smarter, there's the blessing in the form of instruction to prevent us from getting into trouble in the first place. Right? So we're deeply blessed. Now, there's so many blessings which manifest in terms of practices. So Prabhupada's instruction, chant Hare Krishna. Okay, the holy name's a blessing, isn't it? Right? Sadhu Sangha is a blessing. Can anyone be Krishna conscious without Sadhu Sangha? No, it's impossible. Look what Prabhupada did. He created ISKCON. What happens when you create ISKCON? Prabhupada created sadhus. Who else could create sadhus but a sadhu? Who could create sadhus out of hippies? Only a sadhu. And then Prabhupada created a shelter, ashrama, for the sadhus so that we could get sangha, because we need sangha. So Prabhupada created this amazing sangha called ISKCON. Wherever you go in the world, there are devotees. Practically every town, there's somebody who's a devotee. What a blessing that Prabhupada created, isn't it? And kirtan, the holy name, to have kirtan in that sangha, what a blessing. And Srimad Bhagavatam that Prabhupada translated, amazing blessing, isn't it? Deity worship. There's no deity worship like in ISKCON. It doesn't exist. I was just in South Africa. The deities there are amazing. The Radharani is this beautiful smile. As soon as I walked in the temple, I just like felt completely, like I just took a tranquilizer. Just, it's amazing. Then I went to Mauritius. They have these deities in one temple. It looks like Krishna's 12 years old. And it's a big round moon face. And it looks like a little boy and Radharani a little girl. Just we're so blessed by all the deities that Prabhupada established around ISKCON. So then, if you look around yourself, then you see just so many blessings everywhere. Every devotee here is a blessing to all of us, isn't it? Because without the devotees, we wouldn't be Krishna conscious. Then you think the senior devotees, the more advanced devotees, the devotees who have special skills, they're also a special blessing. And it's Prabhupada's blessing that he left these people, because Prabhupada is the one who is elevating all of us, and he's leaving us this amazing Sangha. So if you actually think about it, we're surrounded by unlimited blessings, and actually, therefore, there's no excuse to be in mind, at least no good one that I can see. So then, and I was meditating on this, and I said, so now we have the blessing, but we have to bless ourselves, because the blessing isn't good enough. Because if you don't bless yourself, how do you get the blessing? And what's the blessing you give yourself? To take the blessings that you're given. That's how you bless yourself. Just like we know in ISKCON, it is a fact that most people don't spend a lot of time, much time, reading Prabhupada's books. There are many devotees in ISKCON that probably have not read Prabhupada's, even opened one of Prabhupada's books in a month, to even read a sentence, maybe longer. True? It's a fact. All the blessings are in the book, so you have to open the book to get the blessing, right? So blessings aren't enough, because you have to bless yourself with the blessings, isn't it? You have to bless yourself with the Sangha, bless yourself with the holy name. How do you bless yourself? You chant Shuddha Nam, you avoid the offenses. Then you bless yourself with the holy name. How do you take Sangha? There's a proper way, there's a proper etiquette, there's a proper way of dealing with devotees. Then you take Sangha. If you go around finding fault with everybody, then you're not taking Sangha properly. Then you don't get the blessing of the devotee. Right? Isn't it? Bhaktisiddhanta said this amazing thing. I mean, he said many amazing things, but he said this one amazing thing. He said, unless I feel myself unqualified for bhakti, unless I feel myself ineligible for bhakti, I'll never be able to appreciate the beauty of the lotus feet of the devotees. So to get the blessing of appreciation of devotees, then we have to become humble. And that's how we get the blessing of Sangha, by becoming humble. So the blessing is there, but we have to give it. The holy name is there, right? We can commit offense or we can chant purely. Tomorrow morning, every one of us can sit down and chant Shuddha Nam. Will we do that? Well, the name is there. The blessing of the name is there. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, I've given the medicine. You know, you go to the doctor, he says, take this a half hour before you eat, then take this a half hour after you eat, and take this on an empty stomach, and you know, 3 days later, I see you and say, you're taking the medicine, you know, it's too much trouble, I can't remember, you know, what medicine before, what medicine after, empty stomach, take this with milk, don't take that with milk. So sometimes our spiritual life is like that. Prabhu, how's your chanting? Well, it's not so good. How come, we don't have an answer, how come? What can you say? Is there a good answer? Of course not. How's your relationship? Oh, not so good, this devotee. You know, what can you say? So, the blessing is there, but you have to know how to take advantage of it. Right? Then in the same way, when there's a reverse in life, then we have to know how to see that and take that as a blessing. Otherwise, we become upset. And when we become upset, then we fall into the mode of ignorance. And this is a huge... I think it would be nice if someone did an expose on how Maya, you know, 108 tricks of Maya. Start with the 10 top. This is, I think, in the top 10. Some problem somewhere, and then we're focused on the problem. There's a story... Very interesting story. Well, let me say something first, and then I'll tell a story. But something I found very interesting by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is that he said that fault finding is so bad that you have no right to do it even when there is a fault, because we would think, okay, fault finding is bad. The definition of fault finding would mean I'm seeing a fault, but it's not there. Prabhupada defined envy as finding a fault that's not there, so you're envious. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, no, even if it's objectively a fault, it's a problem, because your consciousness is now focused on something extremely negative. Even if it's real, you can say, but Prabhu, it's real. Okay, it's real, but where's your mind right now? Where's your consciousness? It's on something real, but the real thing is very negative for you, so it doesn't matter anymore that it's real. Of course, if you're in a position of leadership, you have to deal with it. Yesterday I read, they said, Prabhupada, were you happier in Vrindavan? Or were you happier in the early, I think it was the early days of the movement, before you had disciples? And Prabhupada said, yes, I was happy because I didn't have to find fault with anybody. Because when you become a guru, you have to find fault. Said, yes, those were happy days. I didn't have to find fault with anybody. That was his reply. So that's the duty of the guru or some authority. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, you shouldn't think, no, it's a fault, it's real, therefore it's okay to be focused on it. He said, yeah, but you get focused on it, then it has a negative effect on you. So now you're in bad consciousness. So there's a story. Funny story about this, but I think it illustrates this point very well. There was a man on an airplane, and the airplane flight was postponed due to, they weren't sure why, but they were on the tarmac for 2 hours. So everybody was upset except one man, and he was saying, this is great, this is fantastic, I get to do my work, more time to prepare, I get to read, can relax. Everyone else was upset, and they're looking at this man thinking, this guy, he can't be real. He has to be upset. He's just faking it. So then they get another announcement. The plane will now be delayed for 4 more hours due to technical difficulty. And the man says, fantastic. This is amazing. I can't believe it. I'm so happy. And now people are thinking, this is not real. So they go up to him and say, tell us the truth. Are you really happy about this? And he said, no, I'm completely agitated. He said, but if I don't put myself in the right consciousness and just take advantage of this situation, you know, I can read more, I can relax, I can take a little rest, I'm going to be sitting here boiling over, angry, cursing at the airlines, being totally miserable. So I have this choice now how to think. So I'm choosing to celebrate the fact that the flight is delayed, because if I don't, I'm going to drive myself crazy. So I think it illustrates the point that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is making. Illustrates it in a way, okay, here's a problem. Do you want to focus on it? Because if you do, you're going to go crazy. You're going to be miserable. So, Prabhu, how's your relationships? Well, you know, this one, that, not so good. So what's the blessing? Take the Sangha. Take the Sangha in a proper way. A proper way is through service. A proper way is appreciation. So I think part of being blessed is we have to bless ourselves. We have to know how to bless ourselves. Because all the blessings are already there, but you have to know how to take advantage of them. Prabhupada has blessed us unlimitedly. Right? I mean, how many blessings do we have? We have more blessings than we need, don't we? Plenty of blessings. You can bless yourself with Shuddhanam, one Shuddhanam a day at least. One Shuddhanam a day to keep Maya away. Bless yourself with good Sangha, with Prabhupada's words. Wow, Prabhupada's words, such a blessing. Serving the Vaishnavas, taking care of them. What a blessing. You know how Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that all these troubles in bhakti, I consider them just Krishna's blessing on me. So, you know, there's so many devotees that need help. So what a blessing. Krishna's given us so much service. There's so many things. Prabhus, you know, how many things are wrong in ISKCON? We don't have to write a book. 1,000 faults with ISKCON. We don't have to write a book. But all those faults are blessings for us because it gives us something to fix, something to do. Right? We heard when we were young bhaktas that the gopis, they're cleaning Krishna's palace. They're cleaning it, and then they clean it again. They find one speck of dirt. Wow, I found a speck of dirt. What great fortune. So there's so many devotees that need sangha, so many devotees that need help. And we are blessed to be able to help them. We are saved by that service. Actually, we're saved by all these problems in ISKCON, because then we have something to do, right? Because you know that story, when Prabhupada was asked, why doesn't Krishna give us the whole world? He said, because you'll just sleep. So Krishna's kindness, he gives us problems, he gives us, I mean, there's so many people now in the material world, they're stuck there. So we have so much service in getting them unstuck. You have to go pull them out. And there, it's very hard to pull a lot of people out. I don't know if you've noticed. Some people, it's like, and you finally get them out, and then you talk to them next week, and they're back in the quicksand again, isn't it? It's like there's unlimited service in helping people. And that's a blessing. It's a blessing that there are people who are not Krishna conscious. Even it's a blessing that the devotees who aren't Krishna conscious, it gives us service to help them, isn't it? So don't think, oh, there's so many problems. No, problems are blessings. They are. Imagine there are no problems in ISKCON, nobody's in Maya, no one in the material world's in Maya. What are you going to do? Who are you going to talk to? Well, I was just going to write an article, but I realized there's no need to write it because everybody's already Krishna conscious. Of course, you could say, then you can write about Leela, and we can just become Rasik Vaishnavas. Okay, that may be true. But anyway, we should see our blessings coming in so many ways and then learn how to take advantage and not curse our blessings. Oh, why are there so many problems? You know. You know why there's so many problems? Because we're not fixing them. So let's fix them. As Mother Teresa said, the problem with the world is I'm a sinner. So the problem is I haven't fixed the problem. So that's why there are problems. Right? And if we take the blessings of Prabhupada, if we become Krishna conscious, we can help so many people. So I will end here. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Or anyone like to add more stories about how people were blessed by reverses, or how you were blessed by reverses? Anybody has a nice story? We have one Vaishnava back there. He's going to share his blessings, how he was blessed.
I wanted to tell you something, that when Gandharva caused Krishna that his family would all die, just like her family died in Kurukshetra, Krishna said that she, by her curse, she was helping him, because he was wondering how he could get rid of, because Indra came to earth because Bhumi, she went to Brahma for help because there are too many armies on earth, and so Brahma and the demigods, they all went to the ocean of milk, and they were chanting Purusha Sukta.
I'm going to have a translator for you, okay? He's going to translate.
Now he was saying that about the blessings, curses turning into blessings, that when Gandhari cursed Krishna, that your family will be destroyed just like mine was. So Krishna said, well, that's actually a blessing, because I was trying to figure out how to remove the Yadu dynasty.
Yeah. How to get rid of the Yadu dynasty that were becoming dangerous. So that was a... Yeah, thank you for that. Very nice. Thank you. Any other stories? Pritrasura Chitraketu. And how did Chitraketu take it? Prabhupada says, in relation to the story of Chitraketu, a devotee always accepts punishment from anyone as the mercy of the Lord. If one lives in this conception of life, he sees whatever reverses occur to be due to past misdeeds, and therefore he never accuses anyone. On the contrary, he becomes increasingly attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because of his being purified by his suffering. Suffering, therefore, is a process of purification. Prabhupada says here something amazing. Therefore, he never accuses anyone. So when a devotee suffers, he never accuses anyone because he only sees it as mercy. Wow. That's Krishna consciousness. Anything else? Have you ever accused anybody? Anyone in this room? No. The question is, has anyone in this room not accused somebody? Yeah, so it's unanimous. So when we see Krishna's mercy behind everything, what did Prabhupada say? Don't blame the agent of your karma. Somebody comes, gives you a present. You know, it's like you go to the restaurant and you order rice, dal, and sabji, and they bring you rice, dal, and sabji, and then you complain, why are you bringing me rice, dal, and sabji? So we create this situation, we get the karmic reaction, and then we complain. Why are you bringing me my karma? We blame, right? But we ordered it. So how can we blame anybody? Yes?
This is just about some blessings. That when Srila Prabhupada was on a train one time, and some people were trying to see him, but the servants didn't want to let him into the train. But finally, you know, they were hanging out by the door, and Prabhupada said, you know, who's out there? And so he invited them in. And he was very cordial and was asking them where they were from in India and everything. And then he asked, so, you know, how can I help you? And they said, well, we want your blessings. And he said, what kind of blessings? And they were a little shocked, you know. And so, they said some things, you know, my wife is sick or this or that. And Prabhupada said, no. He said, you want my blessings? Look at these devotees. My blessings are shaved head, Kunti Mala, Dhoti and Kurta. Those are my kind of blessings. Just a little story.
So everybody asks us for blessings. So what do we do? Pankajangri, when people ask you for blessings, what do? Because they want, you know what they want, most of them. Health, wealth, and like that. So what do you say?
You want general or specific? But generally the same.
Then they say, oh, yeah, I want specific. I want more money. Then what do you say?
Make you satisfied, and you will learn to surrender to him.
Say that again.
May Krishna fulfill your desires, you become completely satisfied with Krishna and surrender to him.
Oh, nice.
But the general one is, may you always remember Krishna.
Always remember Krishna and surrender to Krishna. So, So we can bless them in any way, but the culmination is to give the real blessing. They always think of Krishna and surrender. Yes. Very nice. Prabhu, I want your blessing. Yes. Your wife will leave you. Your business will be spoiled. And you'll come and surrender here in Mayapur. Is that what you want to hear? Ganagyamya, he's already got that blessing. And he's happy. Yeah. So when you become Krishna conscious, then you get that kind of blessing, yes. Okay, here's a question. Srila Prabhupada said that every letter in Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna. Some way every word in Prabhupada's books is a blessing. Please comment. Yes, there's nothing to comment. You already said. Das Anu Das. Yeah, it's true. Every word Prabhupada gives is a blessing. Because every word will bring us closer to Krishna. And that's the blessing. I mean, sometimes I think, you know, just the fact that Prabhupada made the decision to come to America, encapsulated within that were millions of blessings. Because the result of that is now Prabhupada is everywhere around the world. And even when you go anywhere, even the little young devotee beginnings, budding in devotional service, they're a blessing to you because you can see Prabhupada's mercy in them. And you can become enthused. Isn't it? So, everything, not only every word, but everything Prabhupada did was a blessing. Every kirtan, every smile, every glance, every chastisement. I got chastised. So I've been blessed. Prabhupada told me I was nonsense. He didn't tell me directly, but he told his servant, and his servant told me. And Prabhupada said, he's a nonsense, so that's a blessing. So everything Prabhupada does is a blessing. He'll praise you, he'll curse you. I'm not cursing, so-called curse. He'll chastise you. Every word is a blessing. Sometimes Prabhupada would say things we didn't want to hear. They didn't fit right with the way we think. But that means our thinking is wrong and they're blessings to get us to think right, isn't it? Prabhupada doesn't always tell you what you want to hear. I was just reading about this program they had, the Road Show. It was a rock band, and it was very, very successful. They were doing drama, rock music. But it was getting a little strange, because the men and the women were in plays, and they were like changing behind stage into new outfits, and they were next to one another. And it wasn't good, and Prabhupada just stopped it. Forget it. Stop it. Just do kirtan. Forget all this. A lot of devotees didn't want to hear that. But it was a blessing. Before anything bad happened, Prabhupada blessed it, finished, stopped the program. That was his blessing. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Kau premanandi. Hari hari.